This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
From sipping unlimited champagne and enjoying caviar at 40,000 feet to diving with manta rays under a starlit ocean, our return to the Maldives was nothing short of epic. In this episode, Taryn and I share the ultimate luxury travel experience. From flying both one of the world's best business class and then first class experiences, to uncovering hidden gems like the day pass that you'll want to consider getting instead of a long wait in the Maldives International Airport. Whether you're planning your own dream trip or just want to hear how we turn points and miles into an adventure worth over $50,000, this episode is packed with tips, stories, and unforgettable moments. While this episode is a little on the longer side, I promise that just like our trip, the journey is just as amazing as the destination. Tune in to learn how to revolutionize your own journeys for a luxury dream getaway.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. With me today is my lovely fiance and co-host, Taryn Gisbert. And this week, we are going to be discussing our amazing return back to the Maldives. And while, of course, as a destination, the Maldives is epic, it's amazing. The journey getting there and back was arguably equally as epic. And as we got to experience the best of both Qatar Airways and Emirates, which we will absolutely get into.
All right. For those of you who have been with us from the very beginning, you might remember episode 5, where DeAndre broke down the strategy for our first trip, and episodes 9 and 10, where we recapped the 3-week experience. And spoiler alert, that's where he proposed and we got engaged. So definitely check those episodes out as we talk a different route there, as well as a few different resorts like the Park Hyatt, which we stayed at on points with globalist benefits. But if you want more information on Scuba Spa, we get much more into detail in episode 10, but we have some new experiences to share today. So if you're curious as to why we went back so soon, it's hard not to want to, I guess, but while we were there last time, we spent a week of diving over the new year above the luxury Live Aboard Scuba Spa. And we met an amazing couple as well as a lot of amazing friends. And Claire and Mark, shout out to them. They were privately chartering the boat for Mark's birthday this year and asked us to join them and their other friends for the trip. And I mean, how do you say no to that kind of thing?
I feel like I hesitated and was like trying to think about it. And you just said, we're going, there's no questions asked, like we're doing this. And I was like, okay, I guess we're figuring out how to do this again.
Pretty much. Yeah. She literally invited us over the dinner table and it was like, you should come back this dates. And I was like, yes. And you're like, well, we should discuss it. I was like, really? Do we need to?
So just as a reference, this was not a free, just, hey, come by and, you know, stay for a week again on the boat. We did pay cash, so the Scuba Spa experience specifically was paid cash. It's actually, because it was privately chartered, though, we basically got a group rate. It was about 30% cheaper than normal and almost probably closer to 50% cheaper than what we paid for the New Year's Eve rate when we actually celebrated New Year's 23 into 24 in the middle of the Indian Ocean, which was awesome. And so we're going to highlight a few different things, but definitely make sure episode 10 specifically, which we'll link in the show notes, is dedicated all towards talking about that scuba spa experience. They're very consistent. And so check out that episode if you want to learn more about scuba spa in great detail, and we'll break that down there.
Okay. I know you'll want to start with the numbers breakdown first. So how did we, and I mean the royal we, aka, how did you do this, even though it behests both of us, do on this redemption?
Yeah, so this redemption was actually really close to how insanely good of a redemption we got the last time getting to the Maldives. And one thing I want to point out, I'm going to send you guys the numbers. I'm talking through the numbers here, but that does not include the actual cost of scuba spa. So everything that we're going to talk through is basically all the things that we redeemed from a point standpoint, what the real cost of those things would be. So last time, the last trip we took to the Maldives, so December of last year, we spent about $4,600 and almost 400,000 points, and we got around $42,000 of travel value. And I was super excited about that. That was pretty sure one of the best redemptions that we've ever had that I was able to accomplish. This time we spent about $4,100, so less cash, and about 550,000 points, and got about $56,000 worth of travel. So $4,100 more points, but a lot more value dollar for dollar wise. So if you want to break down the numbers, before it was about a 9.6 cent redemption, and this time was a 9.4 cent redemption. So technically last time was better still, but I'd say the value that we got was immense, and it pretty much matched pretty closely the redemption value. But I would say our experience and the quality that we flew getting there and coming back was miles ahead of what we had going there the first time.
Which we didn't know. But another thing to point out, two round trip economy tickets alone to the Maldives can easily be $2,000 to $3,000 per person from where we live. And we only spent $4,100 total. That's it.
And so getting there, you know, we knew the dates we had to be there because this booking was for a set week. And we often talk about the need to be flexible when it comes to points and miles booking. So that was one of the pieces where we knew the dates that we needed to actually get there. And going and coming was what we had to figure out to get the best possible redemption. So oftentimes when a lot of people say, oh man, you're going for this trip, it's 2 weeks, or you're going 3 weeks, a lot of time that's dictated on when can we find the literal best day to get there and the best day to leave to surround our flights. Now, a lot of times I would recommend that when you travel and you're using points and miles to go somewhere, book the flight first and figure it out from there. Here we knew our dates, but we still wanted to figure out the flight specifically around that. And so what this started out with was we had to do a positioning flight to JFK. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you know a lot of our trips start with us going to JFK because really where we live in Virginia, there's no good redemptions from a point standpoint. There's not a major hub where we are. So we're almost always positioning somewhere. So originally we had a American Airlines flight that we used points for. It was going to be $12 and 12,000 points total for both of us for about $390 in airfare tickets. So that was a great steal. I mean, 12,000 points for almost a $400, well, I guess $200 per person. So all these numbers are going to be total between the two of us. So almost $400, we spent 12,000 points for, absolutely a steal. But we ended up canceling that because American changed that from a nonstop where we live to a 30-minute layover in Charlotte to get to JFK. And that just made absolutely no sense at all, especially because we had bags to check. We have three suitcases because we have dive gear. It just did not make sense at all. So we ended up switching to Delta. And that's kind of a bummer because, you know, Taryn, you and I, our status is all at American. So we usually get the upgrades and all the benefits. But we switched to Delta, and that ended up still being $12 cash, but 26,000 Delta miles, which I actually had a decent bank of kind of randomly accrued Delta miles. And that still was okay because that would have been closer to $500 in cash for both of us and only ended up being $12 out of pocket. And we saved about 15% on points because we do have a Delta Amex card. So whenever you have a Delta Amex, your point redemption values are 15% cheaper. Now, that being said, that was actually our worst redemption of the whole trip, which was about 1.7 cents. So it's still better than 1.5, not as good as 2, but it worked out for us. And we ended up going from, in JFK, we stayed overnight at the Hyatt Regency, JFK at Resorts World. And so Hyatt, obviously, we talk about a lot on the show. We ended up using one of our free night certificates there. And the reason why we could do that is because a free night certificate's good for category 1 through 4 Hyatt properties. And so that alone saved us about $354, which includes a $25 daily resort fee that we would have had to have paid if we didn't use points or the free night certificate. So we had a full free night stay at a Hyatt property, which was really nice. And so, Taryn, we only stayed there for a night. This is kind of random because it's apparently like the only casino that's in New York City, even though it's not like in the city, it's by the airport. And so we saved some money on the free night certificate, but I think we kind of lost some of it in the casino part, which was a little fun. What'd you think about the Hyatt there?
I mean, I definitely hadn't had an experience of a New York casino, especially off of the reservation before this. So, and as a New Yorker, that was actually a first. It provided a good amount of basic gamble. I'm not a gambler, for the record, so please don't quote me on any of this stuff. But they had some decent machines. Frankly, I'm glad it wasn't better because then it would be too enticing, even though, again, not much of a gambler. But the drinks and food were pretty nice, and it was really convenient of a location.
Yeah, and one of the things I noticed, they had a steakhouse as their main restaurant, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to be paying $50 for a New York steak here and as the only meal at this place because there's not really somewhere off property to go. But it was more of an American pub style restaurant. I mean, they had some higher, more expensive steaks, but the food was really good at that restaurant that we had. So it was nice. I really liked it and definitely would do that again. And we did that because our flight the next morning left at 10 a.m. And we really wanted to make sure if there was any delays, any issues, that we were there in New York and it would just be really easy to get to the airport no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So we were super excited. We mentioned that our trip there, so getting to the Maldives, we flew Q Suites on Qatar Airways, which arguably is the highest tier, best quality business class, not first class, but business class product that you can get. And we were really excited. I thought that Qatar Airways had a lounge in the JFK, but I was wrong. They actually shared the American Airlines. They're all part of the One World. So they shared American Airlines' flagship international lounges. But what was cool is because Taryn and I are both One World Emerald status, which is the highest status with that One World Alliance, we got access to the Soho Lounge, which was a much nicer, very chill, a lot less kind of kids running around lounge of the three flagship properties. There is still one higher, which is Chelsea, which we have not been to yet. So that's on the bucket list.
One day.
So we got there early enough to kind of have some breakfast. Food was amazing. Some drinks. Not really a lot to comment on it. We didn't stay too long. But Taryn, anything you have to comment on? I think you got maybe some wine from the dispenser there.
Oh, yeah. They had a whole wine dispenser where you could have your chilled wine, different rosés and different things. I mean, they had a really nice spread, although, I mean, I want to get into the top lounge. I'm not going to lie to you guys. That is my goal. Is to get into that top level lounge on a future flight from JFK because, you know, I want to see all the lounges.
I understand that. Well, let's transition to what I know we really want to talk about, which is Q Suites. And so before we get into it, I will say this. We booked Q Suites through British Airways by transferring our points from American Express. So this was an absolute steal. So in total, both tickets for Q Suites, this is about $20,000 worth of airfare, so $10,000 per person. We spent 140,000 points and $209. So that's 70,000 points per person, a little over $100 per person in cash for what is effectively a $10,000 plane ticket. And by far, I think this may be my best ever redemption ever, as this was a 14.5 cent redemption, and man, was Q Suites worth it. Taryn, I'll let you take it away. What did you think of the Q Suites experience?
I mean, I loved it for a lot of reasons. All right, so we were really excited about Q Suites. This is something that has been a bucket list item to get, especially sitting next to each other. And it's not super easy to get, especially for this kind of redemption. And it did not disappoint at all. I mean, we had private areas. We were snuggled next to each other. The food was fantastic. I mean, it was a excellent experience.
Yeah, it was really cool. And you know, we're going to talk through our Emirates first and business class experience on the way back. But I will say, with Qatar, with Q Suites, that was the closest that we've actually been able to be together with no sort of barrier or anything in between us. And so in case you're ever booking, and I've been seeing this in some chats and Facebook groups, people ask us all the time, it's the seats that face backwards on the plane. So you face the, you know, opposite of the direction you're actually flying in, that actually are together. And you actually can book a quad. So Q Suites, you can do individual, you can do two people together. You can actually do a setup that's actually four people. So two looking forward, two looking back, all in a single space. But when they prepare like the mattress and the bed for you, they actually put a cushion down in the divider space. So it really truly turns into and feels like a bed. I mean, we got pajamas. The amenity kit was great. The pillow, I mean, it was luxury and very comfortable. And I mean, we were able to snuggle pretty close to each other.
Plush blankets. It was the closest I've felt to being next to each other in the air ever, I think.
Absolutely. And the Q Suites has a door. So you actually have a door on both sides where you can close the door. And now it's not completely enclosed. So there's not a ceiling over you. So someone walking by can very easily look into the space, but it feels private, feels quaint. You can feel like you can get a nice sleep. You can cuddle up with your significant other. And it was a really, really cool experience. And so glad we did it, because what I've heard from people is that Qatar oftentimes will change their plane. So you could think you're flying Q Suites. Next thing you know, you're on a different plane, and different experiences people have had that were negative. But we booked this in advance. I think we booked this probably back 6-7 months before our trip, and so was excited back then, and they delivered, and it was a fantastic time.
And just because there's a door doesn't mean that it's an invitation to the Mile High Club. Be careful, they can see.
Yes. I was like trying to like hint at that, but yes, that is 100%.
Well, that's why I'm here, my love. I am here to break it down and be honest and just, you know, cut through it. So just because it feels private doesn't mean it's that private. But it's nice for a cuddle, and I was very excited for that without a giant barrier in the way of my arm to be able to even, like, you know, touch you.
I'm here for it. It was cool. It was awesome. And the Qatar Airways flight crew, as always, were absolutely fantastic. So they delivered on the service standpoint, and great food, great drinks on the flight. So that was about a 12-hour leg as well, straight to Doha, and it was fantastic. And so we got to Doha, and we ended up staying at the Hyatt Regency Orx. So when we got to Hyatt, we used 5,000 points, which we transferred from Chase to Hyatt, to stay at Hyatt there that's closest to the airport.
Yeah, it's a great deal, as it's only a Category 1, and it is really close to the airport. So this was actually our second time staying there, and they've been really consistent with quality food, helpful staff, high quality amenities as well. Beautiful layout, not what you would expect from your traditional airport hotel, and an Uber to the airport that was less than $10.
Yeah, it's actually kind of wild, because a Category 1 here in the States is typically a Hyatt place, and it feels like what you'd expect a Category 1 is. And for reference, Category 1 is the lowest, Category 8 is the highest. And you get there and service is top notch. The floors are marvel. The restaurants are high quality. I know we went to the same Spanish food, the tapas place. That was good. We didn't go to the nightclub there. It's called Rubik's. I know last time we were there, it was ladies' night. So we didn't go this time. I think we decided to catch up on some more rest because we had a little bit of an earlier flight this time.
And we missed ladies' night. We were a day late. I missed my free drinks. There was no point of going.
That's absolutely fair as well.
I also needed to change and nap, so.
Yeah, we need a little bit of rest. We had an insightful flight, but also still needed a little bit more rest, which is understandable also. So Hyatt was great. Again, we've stayed there before, close to the airport. we ended up doing for this piece the same exact thing that we did last time we went to the Maldives. And so we used American Airlines Mile to book an economy flight from Doha to Malé, which is the airport in the Maldives. That actually is a $2,000 airfare for both of us, so $1,000 per person. And we only ended up needing about 17,500 points per person or American Airlines miles. And $74 was the total. So I think probably $30, $35 in cash. So that ended up being about a almost 6 cent redemption for us. And so if you're wondering where we got the American Airlines miles from, we talk about this often. We fly American often, so we build up American miles. We use the shopping portals. We get American miles. Taryn has the Basque bank account, which is generating somewhere between 8 to 10,000, was 10,000, and they just reduced it down to 8,000 miles per month. So we built up American miles pretty easily, which is why I wanted us to go through Doha so we could use some of these American miles, which ended up working pretty well for us for sure. And so when we got to the Maldives, we had a very consistent experience with the last time. And so I wanted to talk about this because I think when you hear about the Maldives, you hear about the beach destination, the crystal clear waters. No one ever talks about what the airport is like and the experience there. And after going back now for a second time, I'll say it's consistent, at least until they open the new airport, which they're still working on. It's hot. It's a little chaotic. You're waiting. It feels like we're always waiting. Taryn, what would you say? I mean, you've been through it with me the last couple of times. It's as much as we love the Maldives and the Maldives experience, the airport is a little less to be desired, I would say.
The Maldives is a place that is synonymous with high-class luxury and luxury experiences, decadent beaches, and the airport's not just, it's not there yet, but that's okay. It is chaotic, and that is just something good to know. You get off the plane, it's going to be hot. There's going to be a bit of chaos. Has everybody in line finished their, you know, paperwork? Do they have their QR code? Have you figured out your eSIM situation? If not, there's a lot of chaos there as well. There's a bunch of boats as soon as you get out. If you aren't prepared, it might not be what you would expect with everything that you've heard about the Maldives. And that's something that we're trying to help educate on, just so you're prepared when you get there, because we don't want that initial airport experience to ruin that decadence and luxury that you are going to get in the Maldives. But you're not going to get it at the airport. Let's just be very honest about that. Not yet. Not until the new one.
Right. And that's both directions. So going and coming from the Maldives, the airport experience is not the greatest. So again, just be prepared to wait. Now, the cool thing is the boats are super close to the airport. You can literally walk across the street and take a boat, you know, or a seaplane or whatever it may be. But it's going to be pretty chaotic. And yes, make sure you've got your QR codes, your Maldivian paperwork, all the things done. Because if you get in line and you don't have it done and you didn't do it beforehand and there's pretty terrible Wi-Fi at the airport, so you're struggling to connect, and you get to the front of the line finally after waiting in a hot airport terminal for 30, 45 minutes, you don't have it done, they're going to send you to the back of the line until you get it done. So,
walk of shame style.
Yes, which we have never had to do, but we have seen now multiple times people having to do that, and it is not fun, and we have seen some literal tears there.
Yes, because you're hot, you're tired, and you just want to get to your next step of your trip. So get that done ahead of time.
So we had a transport booked for a resort called Bandos Maldives for 2 nights. Those 2 nights were $1,000. We paid cash for that, but we used Taryn's Capital One Venture X and use it through their travel portal to get the $300 travel credit. And this is pretty key because this is going to come back from a discussion standpoint. Now, people did ask us, why didn't we use points and stay somewhere else? And the short version to that is we knew we wanted to be close to the airport because the airport essentially is where the pickup was going to be for a scuba spa, which was the primary reason we were there. We didn't want to have to deal with taking a regional jet or pay for a much more expensive seaplane for a farther out. And even for a short speedboat ride, which was only 20, 30 minutes, that was still about $100 per person round trip. And that wasn't even that far of an island away from Malé. So that's the reason why we didn't use our points and stay at a Hilton or IHG or Hyatt property somewhere else. We just wanted some simplicity, and we were only going to be there for the 2 nights again. Unfortunately, our arrival was nerve-wracking because what initially we felt like they did a bait and switch on from what we requested or what we booked and what we received, but actually found out this error was on Capital One and they had to make it right. And Taryn, I'll let you explain that one.
Okay, so this was my first time using the Capital One travel portal in order to get my credit. And I used it like I would any of the others I've used with Amex, Chase, etc. Although this was a bit of a surprise when we got there, and this is what I want everyone to know now, just in case this happens to you. So I had booked a beach pool villa, and when we had arrived, they gave us a beach villa, which sounds very similar. But if you see it, it is the difference of a studio apartment and essentially a brownstone in Brooklyn. Sorry, that's a very New York reference, but still, it is a lot of space versus very small amount of space. So,
and no pool.
And we didn't get the pool. And we didn't actually even have a view of the beach. We were just proximity of the beach. But and our entire bathroom was outside, which I can deal with depending on where we are, but not a deal breaker. But it was just not the room that I knew we booked because we were about to get on a liveaboard in a smaller room, despite it being one of the nicer suites on a boat. It's still small quarters. So this was kind of our opportunity to stretch out a little bit before we got onto the boat. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is definitely not what I would have booked. And there was quite a lot of confusion to figure out where did things go wrong. And luckily, because we did have an eSIM, we were able to make phone calls, all of those things. I was able to talk to Capital One and, you know, they determined that their third party who processes the actual bookings into the resorts had put the wrong room, essentially. So it took a bit to get everyone together and to get this fixed. Unfortunately, it did kind of take most of the day that we were there, but they did provide a $100 travel credit for the inconvenience and also allowed me to run my card for the price of the upgrade, which really was the room we were trying to book, or I thought I booked initially. So they refunded the $700 and gave the $300 travel credit. So, and these credits don't expire. So the good thing was they really did make it right. And I think that is one of the big things that I would say sets Capital One apart is that I feel like their customer service was actually quite good once we were able to get in touch with them, explain the situation. And they did everything they could to like make sure that we had the amenities that we had thought that we had booked and that we had paid for. So I'd say the main takeaway is if you're going to use the Capital One portal, at least until they make any changes, just confirm your room with the resort directly ahead of time to make sure that they have you on the books for the right room, especially if you have an upgrade of any kind, just to confirm. And if there isn't, get that handled ahead of time, because I promise you, when you have to call a credit card company on an eSIM with a, you know, Maldivian number, it adds a lot of confusion to the process and it makes it take a lot longer. So, you know, I wish that was something I would have known, because I would have checked that and I would have talked to them ahead of time.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, that was probably the only thorn in our entire trip, because that was a solid 2.5, maybe 3 hour segment of time after we got there. And that pretty much cost us our entire first afternoon and evening. So we didn't even get to see the sunset, get to enjoy the beach or anything like that at that first evening. Obviously, these are first world problems. But again, we wanted to make sure that we were able to get the value that we requested. And as you said, right, we thought we had something, and Capital One, or Bandos, the resorts, showed us. They said, hey, look, this is what you have. So this is what we gave you. But I do like the fact that Capital One said, you know what, we'll pay for the upgrade so you guys get what you thought you basically paid for and booked.
But what we did pay for.
Yeah, what we paid for. And now I know you said that you ran your card. They had the option to pay themselves, but it was just getting too complex trying to translate the discussion with the staff, and basically just made it easier for you to run your card. I mean, technically got the points and everything too. You ran your card and then they just reimbursed that, which simplified it. So like you said, kudos to Capital One for stepping up and making that right, and definitely helps impact the thought process on using that level of booking again.
Yeah, just the only caution is just double check ahead of time. But otherwise, and especially if you don't have to worry about an eSIM and other complications of trying to contact them, they'll make it right.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times, and that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show.
Now, overall, Bandos was an interesting resort. Found out it was actually the second oldest resort in the Maldives. I think it was 40 or 50 years old, maybe 50. It's over 50 years old because they had their shirts that say 50 year celebration like 2 years ago.
I think they said it was built in like the 1950s. So
yeah.
We're north of that.
Yeah, it was an older resort for sure. I will say the staff was great. Food was great. I mean, Terry, like, I know you wanted some lobster. We had some really cool food experiences. You saw some cool sharks and stuff in the water. Like, what'd you think of the resort overall once we got this whole scenario taken care of?
Once we got it taken care of, it was nice to be able to explore. It's a really walkable island. There's a lot to kind of see just taking a little lap. It's actually very child friendly, which not our destination. But in case you are looking for something that is family friendly, that is not far from Malé, it's actually a really good option with all inclusive options. They actually had an amazing sound system for their nightlife. It was so amazing. Like, they were doing like their kids DJ experience, and we were trying to just get a drink and get out because we were not trying to be around for the kid experience, but they were using like smoke machines and I could hear the bass, and I was like, oh, I'm excited for adult DJ night, because, you know, like, the kids night was lit and the adult night did not disappoint at all. I'd say the only question was, like, you know, if the DJs have feelings. And I'm just, that's a joke. I'm sorry. They were very serious behind there, which I'm just not normal, especially when people are very like engaged, and like, it was great music, awesome sound system, not hating on them at all. It's just kind of funny because they seemed very unbothered by us enjoying the vibes.
So if you know Tara and I, you know, we like to enjoy some pretty incredible travel experiences in general, nightlife, all those different things. We've been to amazing clubs in Ibiza, Dubai. We did EDC Vegas, which is 500,000 people this year. So we know great sound systems, great DJ, great entertainment. Absolutely was blown away. Sound system, like Taryn said, I don't think we could find better in the Maldives. It was that unreal. But like you said, no fist pumping, no head nodding, no energy. I've never seen a DJ with no energy. Now, I critique DJs pretty intensely because I had a background in DJing. Their mixing was fantastic. It was everything you want. It was absolutely fire. People were dancing. The songs, selection, 10 out of 10 across the board, no energy from the DJ. That's not necessarily a bad thing or a critique, but just kind of weird. But, you know, we know what? We had a great time, great night, a lot of drinks that night, but it was a good time overall.
And it seems like they're making a lot of really great renovations right now. They had a lot of areas that were closed off, and the food where was open was great. They had teppanyaki. They had an amazing steakhouse. So even though Bandos is the second oldest resort in the Maldives, it actually still had a lot of really great things to say about it, as not just the price point. So if you're looking for somewhere to stay for maybe a night or two, especially before you move on after getting into Malé, it could be a good option.
Yeah, one of the things I'll point out as well is the cash rate for some of their lower cost rooms was like $170 to $220 a night. And compare that with $1,500, $2,000, $1,200 a night at a lot of other of the big name resorts. Now, again, luxury is going to be different, but if you're looking to be there, have a kind of a lower cost cash stay, that's a place to take a look at for sure.
And they have all inclusive options, and their food was actually really good. Their spread was very good as well. So this could be a really good budget option for you, family, or just couple trips in order to get the Maldives experience without breaking the bank.
Absolutely. And so after our two-night stay there, we then transitioned and got picked up by Scuba Spa and brought above aboard the live aboard there. We're not going to spend too much time talking about Scuba Spa just because we had literally an entire episode dedicated to talking about what that experience was like. And they're very consistent with the level of service they brought. That's back in episode 10 again, and we'll go ahead and link that in the show notes. At a high level, if you're wondering what it is, a live aboard, it's basically a ship that we stayed on for an entire week from Saturday to Saturday. It's not huge. It sleeps 26 people and has 26 staff. And so I believe it's one of, if not the only, live aboards in the Maldives that has a ratio of one staff person to guest. And so they really look to have a nice level of luxury. You know, again, we're not going to spend too long on this, but Taryn, a couple of the highlights we had from this that was different from last time, what would you say?
I mean, it's consistently luxury. If you are looking to do a live aboard, this is essentially like the yachty version of it. And I can never go back now. So they're extremely consistent, excellent service, excellent amenities. But we did have some different experiences this time than last time.
Yeah, one of the things that was most magical. So yeah, Tara and I were both divers. So, you know, love diving. And so it's called Scuba Spa because you can go there and dive. You can go there and literally spa every single day because they have a full spa on board. Or you can do both. We enjoyed mostly diving, although we did have a spa afternoon, which Taryn got to enjoy last time. This was my first time getting a massage, which was incredible. But I say, I don't know, Taryn, would you agree? Probably one of the best highlights was the night dive with the manta rays.
That was so special and was very different. This was not something that Scuba Spa has offered. And according to the people on the dive team, it's only something they started offering a couple of weeks before that we were on the board. But it's a whole night dive. It's shallow, but it's right under the boat using the amazing lights behind the boat in order to get all of the plankton up there. And then the mantas just danced right over our heads. We had flashlights and I was like ducking a couple of times because there are strip club rules, as Hassan would say, where they can touch you, but you can't touch them. And it's also bad if you touch them because you don't want to touch anything that's, you know, in nature because we have to have respect. We want to leave it better than where we found it. Leave nothing but bubbles or leave it better than you found it. So it was incredible. They were not shy. They were not afraid of us. And it was like pure magic having mantas just like right here next to your face and just doing like somersault. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing. We lucked out really both trips. So last time, like Tara mentioned, they put a giant halogen spotlight and pointed towards the water in the back of the ship, attracts plankton. And it's hit or miss. They could do it and nothing could show. Something could show. And so last time we went, a whale shark showed up and started feeding. Actually, multiple whale sharks started feeding on the plankton. And that time we jumped in and snorkeled with the whale shark that was there. This trip, the night they lit up for the whale shark, nothing showed the entire night. And they actually, if it came at 3 a.m. when everyone's asleep, they would wake everybody up so you could experience it. And never happened. But on the night they lit up for the mantas, we waited and waited. Nothing happened. And then, boom, one manta, two manta shows up. We all rush onto the dive boat, strap our dive gear in. And it's almost like Navy SEAL, like, go, 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 go. Everyone in the water jumped in. And then we just literally sat on the ground and watched mantas dancing in front of us, like Taryn said. So actually cool, incredible, incredible experience. And one of my top dives ever. It was so fantastic. And you know, you're in the black of Indian Ocean at night and you just have these giant manta rays just dancing in front of you. It was absolutely phenomenal.
One of the most amazing experiences, especially even if you're a newer diver, if you've never done a night dive, this was a lot of people's first night dive. And maybe it shouldn't be because it might set your expectations a little bit high. But this was a lot of people's first night dive and it was totally different than your traditional night dive. The way that it was set up, the way that it happens, it is very magical. I highly recommend it in case, you know, you're kind of dipping the toe in a night dive or just, you know, looking to try something different.
And it was, again, incredible experience top to bottom, again, with Scuba Spa. That was us again Saturday to Saturday. They dropped us back off at the airport at 8:30 in the morning, but our flight was until 6:30. So this was a little bit interesting.
P.M.
Yes, thank you. 6:30 p.m. Yes. So 8:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. So we had a lot of time to kill. And we just mentioned to you, the airport experience is not ideal. And it's not, although there is a lounge there that we had access to because we were flying Emirates, well, in this case, first class, the lounge, no matter who you flew, fly basically business class, everyone shares the same single lounge. We've got the same lounge when we were flying back the last time, which was in Virgin upper class. I would not enjoy staying there for 8 hours, basically. And so we received some advice to stay at the Hulhule Island Hotel, which is, you can quite literally see it from the airport. It's basically a 2-minute drive away, and you can actually get a day pass there, a pool pass, or you can get a day room, and the room is available for up to 8 hours. And the room costs about $250 after taxes and everything else for it, really for how many people you want. It was just two of us, $250 in cash. But Taryn, I know you looked into, because we were trying to figure out, was it better to do the pool pass with lunch, which is about $95 per person, or should we get the room, which was more expensive at $250? Why did the room make more sense?
Well, because the weather is very unpredictable in the Maldives. So I spoke to the people that we have basically interacted with who have recommended this place and asked, you know, well, if the weather's bad, is there a place to go? Where would we be with this pool pass and our lunch? And essentially, it's just the lobby. The lobby's not, it's not terrible. There are sort of comfortable seats and some fans and AC. However, it just, I was told that the food was not nearly as good as their restaurant, which we found out
was insane.
Was way better than either of us ever thought. So don't underestimate, you know, the hotels near the airport, because I feel like that's something that this is the second time it's coming up again. And I've done it. And not every place near the airport is not excellent, because this was great. But it just made more sense based on the value of the meal, based on the options, if the weather wasn't good, which is really unpredictable in the Maldives. And that was why I was like, you know, I think it would be better for us to have that and to have the option to take a nap, take a shower, repack some stuff versus just kind of being stuck in a lobby.
And that actually is exactly what ended up happening, because when we got to the airport, the Hulhule, their transport picked us up. Again, it's a 2-minute drive. It might be maybe 90 seconds. 2 minutes is probably a stretch. When we got under the overhang, a monsoon came through. I'm talking like chairs moving sideways. It was absolutely wild. So like a pool day was not in the cards at all. And so it was great that we booked it in advance. And by booking in advance, literally the day before, while we were on the boat, I think we were sitting in the jacuzzi on the boat, I was messaging the hotel on WhatsApp and they gave us a reservation for the room. I will say this, I walked into this, I was like, man, I'm going to spend $250. This is going to just be whatever for 8 hours. The room and the hotel was way nicer than I think either of us were anticipating for what we paid.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of an unreal level of nice. I mean, service was great. Everything in service in the Maldives has always been fantastic. The room was great. The location of the room was amazing. It was right, basically a beach side, like open your door and you're at the beach. Granted, it was monsooning, so we didn't really go out there, but that was fantastic. There's a bar, there's a full pool, of one of the largest hotel gyms I've ever seen. And then the buffet for lunch was absolutely unreal. Taryn, you're the foodie. I'll let you talk about the buffet.
I mean, the buffet had a lot. I mean, several different areas for salads and all of the things you would want, different dressings and different cheeses and different international dishes. I mean, they really hit on everything you would want in a buffet, in my opinion. And the amenities really were way beyond what we expected in general. The rooms were nicer. Every amenity was nicer. I mean, this restaurant where we had this buffet had like 15 desserts, including like 4 different ice creams that you could scoop on your own with different hot and cold you know, toppings. It was much better than what I had been led to believe as like, oh, this is a good place to go where you can get an alcoholic drink if you get a pass, because that is one of the benefits as well, because there's not a lot of places in Mali that actually serve alcohol. So this is one of those locations. So we were like, okay, well, we can go by the pool. We can maybe have a bed if we need to stay there. We can get a cocktail. It was so much more than that. And from what I've heard, the pool package does not include the amount of food or the kind of quality, and it's not as worth as much money. And the food at the buffet was fantastic. It was a bit pricier, but in my opinion, it was very much worth it, especially if you've got time to kill and you're going to be there. And we also saw that a lot of the people who work in the airport, I'm assuming management, also had access to that buffet where we were, where the food was just fantastic.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this location, we'll link it in the show notes, is the Hulhule Island Hotel. Absolutely recommend if you have a long stay. Like Taryn mentioned, actually, interestingly enough, so if you are someone that enjoys a cocktail, likes a glass of wine, champagne, whatever it may be, the lounge in the airport that you get access to in business class doesn't serve any alcohol. So not that that's a deal breaker for everybody, and it's not necessarily for us, but one thing to keep in mind, if you're sitting there for an 8-hour layover, think you're going to enjoy some mimosas, a couple of drinks, while you're maybe getting work done, you're literally just going to be sitting there. There's food in the lounge, but it's not an as ideal or comfortable space to just sit at for such a long time compared to lounges in, you know, Doha, Qatar, or in Dubai, or whatever it may be. So that was a really great place. I highly recommend if you are going to the Maldives and you do have a long kind of wait before you check out in your next flight, or you want to make sure that you get back to the main island and have some cushion before your flight out, would highly recommend staying there, getting the day pass. Or on the opposite, you know, if you're flying in and you land in the Maldives at, let's just say, 5 a.m. and you can't check into your hotel until 3 or 4 p.m., that could be a place to stay again for a few hours to sleep, get some rest and relax before your pickup happens at the airport and their transfer, their shuttle is completely free. So we left there and we went to check in for our flight back. Now, we mentioned this before, but we flew back Emirates. And this is interesting. So this is a whole interesting experience because this felt like a splurge, honestly, because the taxes and fees were so high. But we really wanted to fly Emirates. Neither of us had. And also, it was the best and easiest itinerary back home. Instead of having to do multiple positioning flights and multiple legs and all these different things, we could very easily go Maldives, Dubai, JFK, and then position from there. So business class by itself would have been $12,000 per ticket and about 137,000 Amex points per person. And so we ended up transferring our points from Amex to Emirates, and that's probably, and we ended up paying about $1,200 in fees per person, which I would arguably say of all the trips we've taken and all the redemptions we had, that was probably the most we've ever paid in additional fees on a points redemption. So for the two of us combined, that was almost 280,000 points and $2,400 in cash. Remember I said that the whole trip, we spent $4,100 in cash. $2,400 of that was literally just booking this one flight back home, or these two legs basically. But when you do the math, because the value of the ticket is $24,000 combined, that was still almost an 8-cent redemption. So the math still made sense, even though it was a little bit pricier out of pocket than I probably would have liked or that we've done before. But this is where things got really interesting, because I had been monitoring the first class upgrade availability in the app. And I knew Emirates, whether you go economy, you pay for economy and upgrade to business, or get business and upgrade to first, I knew that was going to be an option. And I had been chatting with them through the app the previous couple of days, and the chatting experience wasn't the greatest. But when I had spoken with them and finally got someone on the line, and I asked how many seats were available to upgrade to first, they kept telling me there was only one available. And so I said, well, this is a little bit of a bummer, but maybe when we get there, someone will cancel their flight or change or whatever it may be. There might be two seats available. So we got to the check-in counter for business class, and I asked if there were two seats available for first class. She said yes. So she told me the cash price. I honestly don't remember what it was, but I asked how much was it in points, and it was the exact same number that I had seen in the app for the one seat, and it was 31,000 points and $60 per person.
That was the dollar amount. It was 60 per person.
Yeah, $60 per person, right? And so 31,000 points, $60 per person. And so I said, done deal. We pulled out our iPad, and while I was in the line at the counter, like getting our boarding passes, I said, hold up one second. I logged into American Express. I transferred our points from Amex to Emirates. I was hoping it was going to be instant. It was. And one thing to note out, there's been issues where you can only transfer to Emirates from one place, right? So if you choose Chase as your place to transfer your points from, any future points you transfer to Emirates has to come from Chase. I've heard that multiple times. We transferred originally from Amex, so I knew specifically I needed to use my Amex points again, and it happened instantly. I refreshed the website. It showed our points were there. I asked her if she could see it. She said yes, and so she upgraded us to first class. The real cost of that upgrade was $3,700 per person, and again, we only used 31,000 points. So that's almost a 12-cent redemption on that upgrade to points for the Emirates first class experience. That was on their 777. And Taryn, I mean, I'm going to start with just saying Dom in the sky. I'll let you take it from there. What did you think of the first class experience? Because I think that ruined the Q-Suites experience for us.
I was going to say, tap me in. This is unlimited Dom caviar. Unlimited space, mineral water is your own private journal to put your secret thoughts. Amazing pajamas, a starry sky when you look up. I mean, it was screaming luxury from head to toe. And it is the most luxurious experience I have ever had in the air by far. Like, it separates itself so much from any business or domestic first class experience. It kind of makes me laugh at the idea of domestic first class because it is so not close to what Emirates does. Having unlimited Dom Perignon poured as much as you want, having caviar, having seven different ways to adjust your seat to be comfortable, seven areas, and then from there you could adjust it more. Like, I have not seen something like this ever, and I want to fly like that all the time now.
Yeah, it was absolutely incredible. And what's interesting, when Taryn said the stars in the sky, that was probably one of the things that were most kind of randomly surprising to me. Because, you know, when you go into a flight, right, you usually have your overhead spaces for your baggage. Well, on Emirates First Class, all of your baggage actually goes inside your suite area, like around the corner. So nothing goes above you. So this was a night flight. So once they dimmed the cabin lights, plane took off, literally the entire ceiling was a starry sky, which was the coolest thing ever to like recline to see stars as, you know, as you're taking a nap or whatever it may be. Service was impeccable. And the craziest thing, which still boggles my mind, everyone kept telling me there was only one seat available the days leading up. When we got there, she was like, yes, there are two available. They're actually, in addition to the two that we took, was two more seats available for first class. So in the whole eight seats, there were only four of us in first class in total. And I will say, I mean, their pajamas they provided were, I mean, the quality was amazing. Even the disposable slippers were the most comfortable slippers I think I've ever worn. And then, well, Taryn, you forgot to mention the amenity bag.
Full Bulgari fragrances. I was going to say, you get a Bulgari bag, like a nice toiletry bag. You get an entire Bulgari set of fragrance, lotions, everything, makeup wipes, like everything you would expect from like the highest tier of luxury they provided. Although, listen to your flight attendant. Mine was very informative of as to how to use the buttons, how to use the things. I was able to call him on like the little phone from seat to seat since we weren't initially next to each other. But, you know, not everyone will maybe share some of that. And I actually had looked it up right before the flight and I thought I was prepared and I was still kind of overwhelmed with the experience. So if you're going to be able to experience this, do a little research so you're not just like what do I do next? Because there are so many things that they're going to kind of give you and throw at you in terms of, you know, snacks and toiletries and pajamas. And it can be really overwhelming. And I wish our flight was longer. I wish that was a longer flight. I could have stayed on that flight for another 12 hours.
Yeah, that one was about 4.5 hours. And that was also the first time I think I've ever been on a plane or even in a hotel room and been overwhelmed by the level of amenities and everything available. Taryn mentioned her toiletry bag. The men also got a Bulgari toiletry bag, which is a completely different design and completely different things inside of it as well. So they have it, you know, by gender. It's really cool. I mean, the attention to detail was amazing. And so the first class experience, 10 out of 10. We even, because we flew first class, we got off the plane and they had a full escort for us with the Emirates first class golf cart to the next lounge in waiting for our flight. We were actually pretty tired because this was, I think we landed in Dubai at the equivalent of what would have felt like 11 p.m. Maldives time. It was like not either 10 p.m. Dubai time, and our next flight didn't leave till like 2 or 3 in the morning. So we were actually pretty tired, but we did get to enjoy a little bit of the lounge, and we both napped actually in the Dubai lounge.
Yes, you napped immediately. So I got to explore and see the Moët and Chandon as well. But it was really cool feeling like we had our own security and our own private escort to get into the lounge. And I have heard a lot about the Emirates lounge in Dubai, and it did not disappoint. It was so big, I didn't even have time to explore all of it and actually also be able to nap. So honestly, I would love to go back there again. It's a reason I wish that was my home airport, because I wish that was the lounge that I got to be at anytime I was going anywhere.
Yeah, and what was nice about that is the business class and first class lounges are on an upper deck. And so you literally walk right outside the lounge and your boarding gate is right there. And they did it backwards. So they actually boarded economy first, like a full hour before they started boarding business and first class, which was different because usually business and first board first. But I guess economy, they had them doing more screening and stuff to get back into the U.S. So we ended up getting boarded maybe 30 minutes before the flight, maybe 40, 45 or so before the flight. And what was interesting about that is that we boarded the A380. So the last flight that we were on first class was the 777. This was the A380. Now, ideally, the A380 is still the experience that we want to get first class on because that's the plane that's got the famous shower in the sky. But we were business class still. This is a double decker, and the entire upper deck of the plane, the front of it's first class, and the whole rest of the back is business class. And then there's the bar in the back, which we'll get to as well. What's really cool about that is we literally never saw anyone from economy the entire time we were through Emirates. So we boarded business, we were on the upper deck. We had our own escort on and off the plane, and it was a really unique, kind of a higher level experience as well. And although we were spoiled from the previous first class experience, this was a 15-hour flight in business class, and I will say it was still top-notch. And again, there's a full-service bar on that plane.
And not just a full-service bar, a large full-service bar. If you're going to compare it to Virgin, which we did earlier this year on the way back from the Maldives, they also had a bar. It was our first time at a bar in the sky, I think, for me at least. Was it for you?
Yeah, it was for me.
So we were so excited about that. And I was thrilled that we got to go to another bar in the sky. And the Emirates bar on the A380 is so much bigger. It's not just a couple of stools right around this small section. I mean, they had multiple different lounge areas as well as areas to stand. They had footy, aka soccer, on the telly, and they had some amazing cocktails that are famous, which I'm going to drop a little bit of one, which is my favorite, which I've been remaking. For those of you who can't see me, I am sipping on it right now, and it is the famous breakfast martini, which is known for Emirates in their bar, which is orange juice, gin, and orange marmalade, as well as a couple of other things, and it is addictive. And it got me through my flight, but it was one of the most amazing experiences, I think, even though it was a very long flight and it was not as great as first class. in comparison, but nothing's really going to ever kind of match up to that. It was one of the most quality products I think that I've ever traveled on.
Yeah, we had the seats that were the closest together, kind of similar to the Q Suites, except there the barrier in between us didn't go all the way down. And so there was still a little bit of a barrier between us. And so I will still say that Q Suites takes the cake on the business class side because of the fact that you have the doors that enclose, which Emirates does not have, and the fact that, especially as a couple flying together, you can really truly be shoulder to shoulder with each other and not have any sort of, you know, barrier or anything like that that feels uncomfortable.
Points for cuddleability.
So Emirates business class, first class was great. They also provided Bulgari amenity kits. They obviously weren't to the same level as first class, where the quality of even the bags they give you were substantially better. The pajamas, the slippers, everything was, you know, 3x better on the first class side. And so actually, we both wore our first class pajamas on that flight. And I've saved them because those things are super soft and comfortable. And so the amenities kit was still great on the business class side, but honestly, it just did not compare to the first class. So it is worth it to go for the first class Emirates experience if you've never had it yourself.
Absolutely.
So we landed back in New York. We're not able to check our bags all the way home with Emirates like we did. If you heard our flight from Bali and Singapore, where we were able to check our flights from Singapore through like five different flights all the way back home, we were not able to do that this time. And so this was a little bit of a scramble because we had to collect our bags when we landed in JFK, switch terminals, and got to the American Airlines priority counter with about 5 minutes to spare before baggage shut off because our flight leaving Dubai was delayed about an hour and a half. It all ended up working out. In fact, honestly, if we didn't get the first Emirates first class upgrade, we wouldn't have had our bags tagged with the Emirates first class tag. And we were one of the first bags off the belt when we landed in JFK because we had the first class tag versus waiting for an entire double-decker plane of people to have to go through and get their bags. So it all ended up working out well. Our positioning flight back home was about $280 per person or so to get back home from JFK. And honestly, that was all worth it. And the cost of that's actually part of the $4,100 we paid for the overall experience. So top to bottom, getting to the Maldives, luxury, being in the Maldives, luxury, getting back, ultimate luxury, fantastic experience. Taryn, any thoughts you have in general, final thoughts on the trip, and then any thoughts on the Maldives as a whole and for going back a third time?
I mean, I would not rule that out, but probably not in the near future, just because, you know, we did go there twice technically this year. And the Maldives is decadent. It is luxury, not necessarily immediately at Malé, but if you are patient enough, there are a lot of beautiful, luxurious experiences, as well as water, ocean, diving, things that I've never seen, at least anywhere I've been so far, that are waiting for you there. And it's definitely somewhere that I would recommend that most people, especially if you're really into snorkeling, scuba diving, or just ocean life in general, you should go. There's so many beautiful things to see. And it is a place that is, at least right now, very focused on conservation and not doing a lot of longline fishing. So that helps a lot in terms of being able to see still beautiful things that are good for our planet. But yeah, I mean, I would definitely like to go back, maybe, you know, on one of our anniversaries.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's an incredible place. Highly recommend anyone to go there and experience it. I think there's way more to see under the water than there is above the water. It's one of those places where I think now going back twice, there's lots of different islands. So, of course, each island is going to be different. But there's only so much you can do on an island between having a killer sound system, the overwater villa, crystal clear water, white sandy beaches. There's a lot of really cool things to experience there. But I think we've pretty much seen the best of the Maldives, both between our diving and our stays. And so I'm excited to see more parts of the world. And yeah, someplace to definitely come back to in a number of years. But I think going there twice, seeing us pretty consistent on expectations, definitely glad we have those experiences and looking forward to what's to come.
Absolutely. I loved it. It was beautiful. I'd love to go back one day. But there are other places that we need to see if we're going to go all the way on the other side of the world again.
Absolutely.
So don't forget, if you're trying to figure out if your point redemptions are valuable enough, we've made it even easier for you with the points redemption calculator on the Boldly Go website. And some reminders, if you've enjoyed this episode today, please be sure to follow us on all of the social media channels and sign up for our newsletter as well to get insider information. And don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends. And we'll see you at the next episode.
Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.